You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
And ready when you are. We're recording.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I have my esteemed colleagues, 365 Days of Horror, as we'll kind of call him, Jordan. Jordan, how you doing?
Doing okay. Happy Labor Day weekend to everyone. I hope to God you're not being forced to work right now.
Same. Kill your boss if that's the case. Nobody will convict you, probably. We're also joined by our other esteemed colleague, Mr. Brenneside. Mr. Brenneside, tear down this wall.
I won't. I will not. It's a nice wall. It was very expensive and hard to build. I apologize to everyone listening and to my crew here about being so frequently absent from episodes lately. I do my new job. It pays well, but it sucks very much. It sucks a lot. They demand my attention constantly, just about every day. I'm expected to know something, and free time has been hard to come by. So we usually record this on Sunday morning, and I find that that is that precious moment where I get to actually sleep or do something for myself. So I've not been able to, but it's Labor Day weekend, so I do have the free time now, and I expect to have a lot more free time when I inevitably quit that shit. So
how long was the honeymoon period between, yes, I finally got this job, and I really hate this job?
Pretty much when I was told I got the job. Worked for a week and then had my very first day. Just from the first day I had this job, I immediately regretted my decision completely. It's like sometimes you have these pay scales in places where people work, and there's kind of like this $1 extra sort of middle very like sub middle management job that's there. Like for instance, I was a team member. Like an assembly team member, and now I'm an assembly team leader. So it's just like the one step above that job. And there should be some kind of minimal growth to your expectations for that kind of very small pay bump. But this job is 78 times harder than my last job. It's just so much more stressful. There's so much more pressure on me. It's like the dumbest thing I've ever done.
Hell yeah, an extra dollar and a half to do the worst shit.
Exactly. So if anyone's listening, don't get into management. I don't care what they tell you. It's not worth it. You're going to be a worse person for it. Just don't. Just fucking let someone tell you what to do and set expectations low for your first few weeks and be the dummy for the rest of your life. Be a smart guy when you're out of work. Be an idiot when you're at work.
In 6 months, you'll get a pizza party.
That's right. Yeah, but in 6 months, I'll have to pay for the fucking pizza party.
That's why you cut it into, like, eighths, tiny little slivers of slices.
Yeah, the little rectangles.
Nah, man, I really think it's a huge red flag if somebody says, like, I want to go into management. I want to, like, command other people. That's pretty sus to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, I you see the cars they drive in and stuff, and you're just like, ooh, me too, man. Like, I'm hungry. I want more money. My problems are all money related. I need money. But then when it's like, I'm not going to say what P. Diddy said because he's wrong. He has millions and millions of dollars. He should have no problems. That's up to him if he has problems. But in like middle class sense, if you make just a little more money than the rest of everybody else, you just get treated a lot more like shit. Like there's just no, the X to Y axis ratio graph is all fucked on that one. It's terrible. Don't do it.
All right. Our takeaways from this early stage of the episode, the banter section, do not work, on Labor Day. Do not accept a slightly higher paying job in management because it's shit. What's the other takeaway there?
I mean, how was your week? How are you, Joe? How are you, Joe? Oh, are you good?
I mean, like I'm spending all my time, you know, doing interviews with, various bovine related schools, trying to get them to, you know, begging to let them accept me. So we're in the end stages of all that shit right now. My stress level is, you know what? I'm chilling. Somebody will take me. I'm positive.
I'm a people person, god damn it.
The hell is wrong with you people?
I have spent so much time just laying on as thick as I can possibly do, all of the Southern good old boy charm I can muster. And I got to tell you, it's fucking exhausting.
Do you, when speaking to certain people, do you change how you speak, like volume or friendliness, or do you even put a little twang on your voice?
I absolutely twang it up. Like when I actually, when I talk to you guys, I feel like I'm churching it up a little bit. I'm pretending to be less Southern than I am. So like when I'm talking to, you know, people at various schools, I'm not going to say their names because I don't want anybody to fuck up my shit.
Right.
You know, I've got to talk with these guys about, you know, quarterbacks that we watched 20 years ago. And it's important.
Hey, Major Applewhite. What a guy.
You don't, Major Applewhite. He had an arm. He had a head on him, too, brother.
I feel fucking
I tell
robbed.
You what.
I feel robbed that you aren't full blown Hank Hill every episode. That sucks. Do better. Do better.
I mean, when we first started doing this shit, I was really self-conscious about like hearing, having people hear me talk. So I was doing the work thing, you know, you have to speak clearly and pretend that you didn't come from a shit stain on the side of the highway.
That like broadcast cadence.
I will use my credit card.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, sometimes I get lazy or whatever. Or sometimes I'm in the company of other Southern gentlemen and it's just, all right, I guess I'm just a fucking hayseed.
I mean, at one more point and then we'll get into the metal news. I had when I was in Nashville, I was selling cars, and one of the only ways I started selling cars was just having a Southern drawl so people could trust me. And,
absolutely.
I remember someone asking me, it was like, oh, well, where are y'all from? I'm like, oh, ma'am, I was born and raised in Springfield, Massachusetts, far up north. And she's like, well, you don't have an accent. I'm like, y'all don't say I have an accent. Shit, I got, you know, if I'm around my brothers, I got an accent. Y'all know. Damn.
Yeah. You know, my brother, Aaron Lewis abstained.
My brother, Aaron Lewis abstained. God bless him. God bless America. On with the show, right? Y'all got anything else to say?
No, like, here's the thing. We've kind of been playing around here at the early stage of this episode, but I don't want to delay this anymore because the shit pipe has been unclogged and it's fucking spraying uncontrollably everywhere.
Horrible. Turn it off. Turn it off.
So much. I had to actually come on because I know you guys needed the help, so... let's get into it. Do we want to do the metal news?
Yeah, let's do this. We got a lot of it. It seems like the worm has turned this week. People are, you know, uncovering consequences of things. Jordan, you and I over the last couple of weeks, while Brenna was out, a thing that we've covered every single week is the latest whatever the fuck is wrong with Wino.
Just when I think we've hit our limit, there seems to be another level of wino, and it just keeps getting worse. It's like that iceberg meme,
yeah,
but with wino's drug-addled, drunken face.
So the last thing that I think we had discussed with Wino is that he had dropped off a psych in Las Vegas because they mandated that you wear a mask, and that was an infringement of his liberties. Like a day later... Like, one day later, Eric Wagner, who he was on tour with, died of fucking COVID. Since then, he had been pretty silent. He put out this statement a little bit earlier this week. It kind of went under the radar, and I don't want this to get lost in the shuffle. Because, boy, let me just go ahead and read if you're okay with this. This is... Wino's official statement regarding the death of his friend. I had known Eric Wagner for over 30 years, and although we lived in different cities, we often crossed paths professionally. Trouble was the headlining act at the Loeb Center New York show, where the Obsessed showcase for Columbia Records, ultimately resulting in a record deal. We did a holiday package with Trouble, Crowbar, and others in the Lunar Womb days. We joined forces in Probot, and most recently, we embarked on a small U.S. tour with his band, The Skull. I am saddened greatly by his death. R.I.P. Eric. Okay, but he continues, which is the problem.
Like, that was nice. Just leave it at that, right?
I would love to leave it with the above statement about a lost friend, but I feel I must address what some have suggested... that the timing of my previous quote-unquote statement was insensitive or awkward. Let me make something absolutely clear. I am not indifferent over Eric's death, and any insinuations otherwise are beyond reproach. This was a unique voice and mind, and his musical influence on myself was profound. I don't read the small-minded comments that jealous haters propagate.
Oh, so jealous.
We all know when the shit comes down, they'll be the first to run. It blows my mind to realize that so many people in a genre I would have previously described as forward-thinking and cool, got their feathers all ruffled when ideas came down the pike that are quote-unquote out of the mainstream way of thinking. But hey, if we are free at all, then that means we're free to disagree. Have your opinion, and I'll have mine. Think for yourself. I am always up for a civilized discourse or healthy debate. My beliefs are rooted in science, much of which is being suppressed and censored before it can reach the people. In the end, I believe love and music will ultimately be the healing elements for us all. Politics is all theater. It's BS. And the current medical politics are designed to subjugate and divide. The power we all have will come from being united for the common cause of truth and freedom. Wino, 8/29/2021, a year of the plague. So how do you, what do you make of that? You know, your friend, your colleague for over 30 years dies of a disease you've been shitting your pants about. And this is your statement to commemorate his life. What are your opinions?
Well, I I haven't been following the Wino saga as closely as you gentlemen have, but so his friend there dies of COVID-19, and
yes.
Wino, like, what is Wino's COVID-19 conspiracy theory for those people who might not have heard of us talking about it before? Like, what is his take?
He believes it's real, right?
Right.
But he believes that it's a tool of government depopulation, which is why you should not get vaccinated or wear a mask. If that seems like some cognitive dissonance, you know, we've been trying to work that out ourselves.
Yeah. think what you want about Bill Burr, the comedian. He's kind of way beyond what we would think is politically appropriate, but he made a great statement recently about how if the government wanted to depopulate America, they wouldn't like kill the people that listened to everything they said. Like good little, you know, followers.
Who, the those
sheeples. Would be the people getting, yeah, the sheeples, right? Like you, if we would go and get the vaccine and do everything they say, that those are the people they want running the nation and digging the ditches for them.
Right.
So that conspiracy theory I find is like the dumbest one. That's the most cognitive dissonant, I think.
Jordan, you know, you and I have been on this beat for a long time. What do you think about this?
I just want to grab Wino by his greasy, sweaty leather vest and scream in his face while wearing a mask, "Your friend is dead. He's not coming back. Your friend of like 30 plus years that you were just on tour with, you're never going to see him again. And it's entirely possible that you got him sick. What is wrong with you? There's no coming back. There's a difference between saying, well, I think the government has a big machine in Alaska that makes weather. Like, I don't believe that. I think that's really out there, but I guess you're not really hurting anyone.
It is kind
of
fun.
Train of thought. Or like, the sun is cold and we're all under a heat dome. Like, all right, just keep it to yourself. This is actively hurting people he knows.
Yeah, I think COVID-19 picked a very great time in human history to hit us and kill us, because now is kind of the era of complete misinformation. Whereas, like, if this were to happen in 1976, people would probably just line up for the vaccine and most would do it and it would be okay. But because it's happening in the age of like YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all these people who have a soapbox who should never have a soapbox, and they now are able to put things out like it's complete bare fact. And you got guys like Wino who think that oh, everything I think is science related. I'm backed by science. Like, what science? What fucking science are you backed by?
I mean, yeah, I think that you have a good point there. Like 20 years of Andrew Wakefield poisoning the well with vaccines, you know, leading to people that I know and love refusing to get a fucking vaccine. Like, it is a truly unique and horrifying period. I think about that Wakefield guy probably every single day now. Like, how much death and misery just one man can cause because he's like, well, I'm a doctor, I'm going to go ahead and just throw some shit out there, make myself famous, make some bucks, and who cares if a million fucking people die.
Jenny McCarthy, who's famous for zero things except for being a Playboy bunny, suddenly is writing, God, what was it, like 9 books about how autism is caused by flu vaccines and otherwise.
Yeah.
Just complete and horseshit. And given like a soapbox.
All, that was
know?
All under the guise of Wakefield. Like, yeah. That's her mentor on this shit.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, measles and mumps came back in this country because of them.
Get fucking smallpox now. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's like those deaths on your are on your head. It's literally your fault. And anyone who spreads it, it's his fault, you know, her
and
fault.
And with now everyone has a little computer in their hand at all times, you can just get inundated with all sorts of information and with the national trust in national media at, like, I think I recently saw a poll that had it in the low 30%. People can just hop onto YouTube and watch whatever peanut head in the suit has to say about whatever's going on. They go, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. This is what I believe now. And it is causing your friends and family to die horrible, painful deaths.
And you see, the boomer generation, they're used to News Channel 3. And that's the information that they had was just from the color box telling them something. Well, now the color box tells a variety of things from a variety of people, and they just don't know, they don't have the mental equipment to sift through it properly. They think that either everything's a lie or everything's the truth. And God, I can't even tell you, working in a blue collar facility, the things that people think are true and the things that they've heard and spread around, like it actually has any bearing on reality. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's not unique to, I guess, any particular generation, but it is endemic in society as much as COVID is now. And, you know, the results from it, I think we can see empirically, are not so great. So I just have to, you know, put it out there for posterity. Having someone you care about die from COVID and your reaction to it is debate me haters. Is just a true indictment of where misinformation is in this country.
Yeah, and of course, is this guy's character as a person. Like, he could have just wrote the first paragraph, and he could have just walked away, and, you know, at least come out of this looking like something like a class act, like acknowledging that, you know, his friend was a good person and died before his time. Like, to just use that to make it about yourself and what people say about you in the comment section. It's just like, man, shut the fuck up, please, forever. Yeah. Like, just get owned. Just take the L for once in your life.
Well, I assume L's are incoming for Wino if he continues on this path, which he has been for a very long time.
And so much more L's to discuss.
There are many L's to discuss.
Yeah.
I chose the first L. Who would like to take the next?
I have I could do a literal L if you want.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dave L. Lifson.
Oh.
Hey. Segway. Dave Ellison's back. Pretty quickly after video of him was leaked yanking his crank to a possible underage woman at some point, he has a new band called The Lucid, and it is a 4-piece hard rock band featuring Dave Ellison, vocalist Vinny Dombrowski, who is in Sponge, guitarist Drew Fortier, and drummer Mike Heller of Fear Factory and Raven. Doesn't it seem maybe a little early to try to have a comeback? Comeback?
Come on.
I mean, this guy's got a Rolodex full of everybody that's ever been in a band. I'm sure that, you know, he was ready to go from the moment that Dave Mustaine told him to kick rocks.
It's only been, what, 3 months at the
yeah.
most?
At the most, right?
He's got a notebook full of hard rock and completely generic songs he's got to get out into the world as soon as possible.
Well, Why not just wait the rest of the year?
Let's you know, allow me to play devil's advocate for a moment here. So, David Ellefson, people don't really know who he is in terms of Megadeth. He's like not the guy. And this has been probably the most the public eye has been on him in his whole life. I think maybe he's making some hay while the sun is shining, you know? Like, he's a name. He's out there. He can generate.
So what you're saying is that Dave Ellefson has a lot of stroke right now.
That's right. Lots of stroke. I think that he's just grabbed the bull by the horns and he's just held on real well, and now he's just riding it out.
He's trying to squeeze out the last drop of his popularity.
He sure did, man. Did you see the video? That's just not. It's not the geyser it used to be. I'm telling you,
he's middle aged, dumb, and full of cum. This is going to be completely interchangeable with any other middle aged rocker getting together a side project. Like, nobody's ever actually going to want to listen to this. They'll play at the Hard Rock, and you know, people will show up because they're vaguely familiar with one of the guys in the band, right?
Yeah,
They'll put out a mediocre album, they'll go on one small tour, and then they'll slowly fade away. But not after, like, PR hounds us to interview him.
God, I can't imagine the press kit that we're all going to see of them in, like, their shades and leather jackets at an advanced age. That's such a great look. I think that they're going to end up with the healthy, like, I don't know, 4,500 Spotify listeners, and then eventually zero, and then just that's it. And there's always plenty of names that they can figure out to start new things over and over with band names and just keep doing shit. He'll be doing this for the rest of his life.
Yeah, it's all variations of, I don't know, like, less successful Chickenfoot.
The Lucid.
Sammy Hagar will probably get involved somewhere.
Yeah, so the name The Lucid, do you think that it means anything or implies anything? Like, you know, these are the guys who, you know, actually have their head out of their ass and they're aware of the real world, while the rest of us, we just have our heads in the sand.
Is this the L-U-C-I-D or the L-O-O-S-E-D?
The first one.
Okay.
I think it's just a generic enough name where you wouldn't automatically say, "Hey, wasn't that the guy?"
Sons of Ellefson.
Fuck, that'd be pretty good. No, I think, Bruno, you're exactly right. You gotta strike while the iron is hot. And I'm expecting absolutely nothing out of this.
Yeah, strike away, Ellefson. Just beat that hammer.
So got a couple of other smaller ones before we hit the major story of the week, I guess. We did talk about this the last time, that Glory Hammer had, you know, really, really kind of shit the bed, and they fired their vocalist last week. Brenna, you told me that, that the band has put out a statement as of like yesterday, I guess.
So I think specifically that this is Chris Bose, who wears...
Is this guy that goes by Angus McBenigans?
I don't know. He wears a dumb outfit in a dumb band with dumb music. So So this is such an odd statement, because usually we get the great big Facebook post written out, and... Instead, this guy literally wrote on, like, notebook paper, or maybe it just appears that way. You know, there's probably all sorts of weird filters for things like that, but it looks like he wrote everything, all his heart out on notebook paper, and then posted it on Instagram and, like, multiple images next to each other. But thank God for the hardworking gentleman at Metal Sucks. They had transcribed it all so I can read it in like, plain type font, and it's quite a statement, so... For context, the guys at Glory Hammer, they had a group chat that was leaked weeks ago, where they said some pretty racist, vile things about, like, having sex with women in other cultures and stuff like that. And when everyone, like, I think the N-word was dropped and everything else, it was like not a good look at all.
No, I think that we talked about this a little bit as well, but like, it's, you know, racist, it's vile, but it's also like overwhelmingly childish, like eighth grade gym class shit.
Yeah, and I'm talking eighth grade gym class back in when we were in eighth grade gym class, like level of acceptability.
Yeah, really not okay. Yeah.
Like in 2003, this group text should have existed, and 2021, not so much. So I'll just get into it because Chris goes off a bit, and if I feel like that's enough, I'll just say that's enough. So hi, everyone, Chris here, and I'm not going to do like a Cockney accent because why not? where are they from? Are they from England? Where are they from?
I thought they were from here. I could be wrong.
That's even
Lord
worse.
Hammer, they're from the UK.
Are they? God damn. Yeah. I'm wrong all over today.
Yeah, I mean, because it's members of Veilstorm, etc. So.
Oh, they're from Scotland? Then I can go, hi, everyone, Chris here. No, I'm not going to do that. Before I get started, I want to explain the delay in me saying anything. Serious writing like this doesn't come naturally to me, and I've received a lot of legal advice. Sure. To maintain,
oh boy.
Yeah.
He went to Reddit.
Yeah. To maintain quote unquote radio silence while all details were being investigated. However, this issue is weighing heavily on me, and I feel like there's a lot I need to say to you all. By now, you're probably all aware of a series of leaked screenshots from the online band member chat group of Glory Hammer showing a conversation that took place in August 2017. All right, so I'll take back the 2021 comment. They said this stuff in 2017. I mean, it was a different time back then.
Yeah, I mean, back in 2017, we were... I don't remember a single detail about 2017. Sorry, man.
You could just go anywhere and it was fine. Anyway, to my fans, my friends, and anyone else who has had the misfortune of having to read what I said, I must apologize. From the bottom of my heart, I am sorry. Words cannot express how remorseful I am to have hurt you with my actions. Today, I want to take full responsibility for this whole situation. On behalf of everyone in Gloryhammer, I've let you all down massively. I can't imagine the pain some of you must be feeling reading the racist, misogynistic, and frankly, horrific things I'd said in conversations with my bandmates. Some of us in the band built a private, puerile culture for ourselves of always trying to one-up each other by sending progressively more deliberately offensive messages in our chat group, always justifying our insensitive language to ourselves by thinking, it's fine, we don't actually believe this in real life, it's just a joke. It's not fine. This behavior was totally unacceptable. While I understand it is not my place to decide if I am a misogynistic and racist person, I want to stress that I have never held personal beliefs that would reflect the things I had said. But
I'm sure
I know
there's an easy way to verify that.
Yeah, but I know this does not excuse anything either. As time went on, I found myself increasingly more repulsed by the things I'd said. Over the past few years, I received pushback and the occasional stern lecture from close friends who gradually impressed upon me why this stuff is wrong, no matter the context. I'm a slow learner, and change is hard. But in recent years, I've been trying my best to not act like the kind of person you see in these messages anymore. However, I know that's not enough, so right now I'm working with professionals to help me get a better understanding of the damage I caused.
What the fuck does that mean?
Well, who's the professional here? Like, what is that? What
did he hire, like, Robin DiAngelo to lead the band in, like, a reading of White Fragility or something?
I have no idea. But he says this because I know I'm still a long way from being the good person I could be. I know I can never take back things I said or completely undo the damage I've done. To the fans of my music who once looked up to me, I bear the most grief. My betrayal of your faith in me must hurt beyond measure. I want to commit myself to make amends with everyone who feels wounded by what I said through working alongside charities and in whatever other ways I can. None of you are obligated to give me another chance, but I will continue working to become someone worthy of your trust. And that's the end of his statement.
I mean, in terms of what we normally get across the desk here, this is a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I would say the same. I mean, if you're going to get caught doing something like this in the past, at least he owns it. At least he apologizes. At least he's just like, look, this is like a damaging statement. It was a shitty thing to do, and I'm trying not to be that person anymore. I know that's kind of the like YouTube apology in a can that we make fun of so much. But I don't know. What else can you do if you're in this sort of situation? You fucked up. You said something stupid. At least he's owning it.
Yeah, I mean, never should have said that shit in the first place.
Right.
You know, they didn't think it would ever come out, and it did. And, you know, I assume that we've all had really stupid moments in our life years and years ago where we also probably said something incredibly, incredibly stupid. I say it on this show every week, so, you know, I've got that going for me.
I mean, I wrote the blog That's Not Metal. If anyone at any point on Twitter decided to just start reading it, I'd be done. I'd be done. Go ahead. It's there. I did it. I can't take it back, but I thought it was funny at the time. I tried to get a certain kind of crowd to laugh, and I got my ha-ha's, and now I have to live with that shit for the rest of my life. Site's long dead, but like, I'm sure if anyone really wants to go archive digging or something, it's all fucking there.
Yeah. I don't know, man. What do you make of all this, Jordan?
Well, it's good that he apologized. He was caught with his pants down, essentially, and there really wasn't anything else he could do. It's either double down, which, oh boy.
Yeah, we see that a lot.
Or apologize, and, you know, that's fine. That being said, I won't be listening to any Glory Hammer anytime soon or anything else that he works on, so.
Same, but good. For unrelated reasons to racism.
So good luck to you, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess this is probably about the best you can hope for. I hope that, you know, this is actually like a learning experience. And it seems like it is. Like, this shit was unacceptable. People are rightfully calling me out on it. I guess I got to do better. If I want to maintain a career, I certainly have to do better. So, I mean, yeah.
The alternative is, like I said, doubling down and, I don't know, appearing on Steel Fest.
All right, I guess we're segueing then. Go ahead.
Segue.
Hit the fucking laser sound effect or whatever.
Okay, I'll find one.
This is the big metal festival in Finland every year. So they announced the lineup, I don't know, like late last week. And, you know, like it immediately got around with all the folks that I know online, because if you looked at the original lineup, aside from a couple of like, you know, normie bands or like big name, you know, big name metal bands that are normal and good, it really does look like, you know, a Nazi fest. It seems like if you were to cultivate a festival that was essentially Asgard Ray Part 2, like this would be it. And then you have the addition of like, you know, a couple of bands that have nothing to do with that shit.
Yeah, of course.
And if you don't mind, like I can go through the original lineup here. This has, of course, been shuffled and shifted all over. A lot of bands have dropped off.
There's been a big blowout because of it. Everyone's been, you know, so things have inevitably changed. But how they got this way in the first place is just still obscene.
Well, let me go ahead and, you know, this is broken up into Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Let me go ahead and hit you with the top billed band on Thursday.
Sure.
Inquisition.
Okay.
Starting out strong.
Yeah.
You gotta give a good first impression for your audience here. So I can't think of anything better than the Nazi pedophile band.
I'm assuming Steel Fest is held not within 500 feet of a local elementary school.
I mean, it better not be. So yeah, you know, the first thing you got out there is Inquisition. And, you know, like, Finland is different in a lot of ways than like the kind of shit we would find acceptable. You know, attitudes towards Nazis are maybe a little bit different as well, given that there was a popular, you know, revolt against the Soviets. The White Death guy. it's in the folklore or whatever. So I guess it's less frowned upon, perhaps. I do know that there are Finnish anti-fascists. I don't want to give them any guff. I know that they're doing their best, but, you know, I guess it's, for the most part, there seems to be an overwhelming attitude of who care. So right under Inquisition, you've got Destroyer 666.
Oh, man.
In a booster seat.
Yep.
We haven't talked about Destroyer 666 in a long time.
What's there to fucking say? Like, just a tiny Australian man who's making everybody mad everywhere he goes and playing the same fucking song that hasn't been good since 2011.
Yeah, man. But it's like, I just, And I'll let you continue with the names, but what I thought was so interesting about this fest was just like the canceled has-beens fest is just what kind of this turned out to be.
Yeah, you're not wrong on that.
No.
Here is a oldie, a real oldie, Graveland.
There you go.
Graveland, who's now very active on Twitter, and people are letting them have it.
Yeah, well, I mean, Graveland got touched by, you know, the cruel finger of cancel culture. And so, you know, Rob Dorkin has had a whole lot to say ever since then. We can get into that a little bit later.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely, we will.
We got Horna. Haven't talked about them in a while, but, you know, there they are. You know, there's a couple other bands here. It doesn't really matter. Like, they're either apolitical black metal or to the sketchy side, but they don't hit the same high notes as say, a Graveland. and here's where I throw you a curveball. Top billing on Friday, Sodom.
Now, I wonder about that, because now there's a lot of things that come out about Sodom and the things that they've said and they've backpedaled and everything. But like, what was there really anything sketchy happening on the day Sodom was playing? It was odd because it seemed like this was purposeful when I was looking at the lineup. Like, there's a day for the fascies. You know what I mean? It was just so odd.
Well, Steelfest is 3 days of fun in the sun with fascists.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, like, build right underneath Sodom, you've got Primordial. The guy from Primordial is just a huge right-wing dickhead. Like, he sucks. You got Satanic Warmaster, which is, you know,
there you
furry
go.
NSBM. You've got Diocletian, which is, for all intents and purposes, you know exactly what they are. So, you know, there are a lot of guys that fit the bill on this. Saturday, you got top billing Deicide. You got Venom Incorporated. I'm not sure which one that is.
the version of Venom that plays L.A. Gun song.
Yeah. You got Melakesh. Based out of Tel Aviv, I believe.
They are, but they're not actually Israeli.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And then, of course, surrounding that, you've got, like, Profanica. Oh, man. And White Death.
Oh, God. I feel I like White Death was very specifically proudly fascist.
Yeah, yeah. You also have, like, you know, I've never heard of this band in my life, but all my red flags go up at Totenwash. And then, you know, Sunday, and this is really what got me bummed out and got me not wanting to participate in any of anything anymore. The headliner is Dismember.
Yeah,
that's a band I've loved for a very, very long time. I've never had an opportunity to see because they've been inactive for so long. I've been excited for years because they've been rumoring about playing shows again, maybe making some new material, occasionally releasing merch that gets gobbled up in a second. And I'm like, hell yeah, I want to see this. And then, you know, they're attached to what is essentially an SBM fest. A couple rows down under Dismember, you've got Taki.
Eesh.
Spicy lime flavored taki. Fuego taki.
Yeah, I know that they have very particular views about the white race, but all the Mexican kids in my neighborhood, they love takis.
This isn't like one of those like major Reading Festival or Hellfest or something where you have 100 real bands and then like a Mayhem is on there and you go, meh. This is pretty much fashy bands with a couple of real bands to bring in the normies.
Yeah, and I think that got me in a pretty sour mood when I saw this. I've been in a sour mood for years now about, you know, this overwhelming, you know, right-wing Nazi influence on, you know, heavy metal. It's just because, you know, we talk about this all the time and nothing changes. And I feel like I'm screaming into the void, and I have been for a very long time. And that makes me feel like a, you know, a useless person. I was really gratified to see so many people stand up this week and be like, this is unacceptable and shit needs to change. So much so that the fest like actually had to make changes. Bands had to either show their ass or like put their cards on the table, you know? That does seem like a more positive thing that's happening that maybe would not have 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. To go back to the bands that are on in a bit, I see Moonsorrow is on there. Wasn't there something that came out like maybe the last couple of years about Moonsorrow?
Somebody I believe there was something. But like, it's not on my head right now, and I'm afraid I couldn't speak to it.
Yeah, we did a show about this a few years ago,
right?
Where they were playing shows with obviously, you know, unquestionably NSBM bands,
right?
And I think their response was, you know, what's the big deal? Followed by, yeah, we kind of agree with them, and I think they might have even shared a member, things like that. So,
well, if they tried to apologize or deny anything, like, you know, here it is again on the Steel Fest roster, a cue slide whistle. Some things I saw on social media, and I don't know, this is kind of, it kind of shows people for what they are. There just seemed to be this kind of like fatigue over being not okay with Nazi bands and stuff. Like, people were just calling each other out, like, oh, here we go again, everybody whining about who's what, you know, just don't listen to it. Ugh, I'm tired of this.
We experienced that with the show. We had people specifically get in touch with us, like, going, ugh, Nazis again. It's like, yes, Nazis again. Deal with it.
Yeah, it's them, it's not us. Like, if we didn't have to talk about them, great, we wouldn't. That's how the world should be. They shouldn't be a thing, but...
I mean, realistically, though, we've done 300-something episodes of this, and I feel burned out because nothing fucking changes.
Yeah, that's just how it is. I mean, black metal as a genre is pretty much... It's gone. You guys, you can't have it. It's for the idiots. I'm sorry.
And you know what? I can accept that and I can be okay with it.
Right.
Like, fine, this is inaccessible to me or anybody that shares my beliefs, like, unless you're willing to just, you know, go along with it, which I'm not. But what really got me about this is seeing, you know, the handful of real bands go ahead and say, we're going to join this bill and we're going to be a part of this fest and we're going to lend credibility to it with our name, you know?
With that said, let's kind of see if we can get into some of the statements made by some of the bigger names on this list here, specifically Sodom. I think Sodom was the one that kind of had the most to say and had gotten the most flack. So I'm trying to find, like, I found their cancellation statement. I feel like at some point they kind of made some sort of denial, what's the big deal statement, but I'm having a harder time finding that. They might have deleted it.
That's because I feel like I saw that as well. It was kind of an equivocating thing, like, you know, we're on the bill for the music, we can agree to disagree type of shit. Right.
As the prepared one on the show, I actually have it in front of me.
There we go.
Yes.
So as a reminder, Sodom is a German thrash band that's been around for 40 years, and presumably you'd think maybe anti-war, because they've kind of had a long series of albums and songs that kind of talk about the horrors of war. They have an album called Agent Orange. I don't know. I guess perhaps glorifying it. Either way, you'd think maybe things don't line up with some of these other bands that they're playing with. And after a lot of people complained about Sodom appearing on this festival, they released a statement on Facebook. Hey, pals. Don't you just love that?
Yeah, good start. Good start.
Sup, Chief?
These guys in their 50s, just, hey, buddy.
Hey, buddies. How's it going? Hi, friends.
Hey, pals. To get it right up front, once again, we distance ourselves from bands that abuse their musical platform to express their political views, whether right or left, to the outside world. But we stand for freedom of expression for everyone, and we won't let that talk us to death. When the Steelfest promoter booked the show with us at the end of 2019, these supporting acts and the billing were not even up for discussion. So we have a valid guest performance contract. We are currently clarifying the legal situation. We generally perform on behalf of ourselves and our fans and not for the other bands. The politically correct bands, whatever that means, are in the majority at Steelfest.
That's not true.
That doesn't seem to be the case, no.
Will they all cancel their performance? We will definitely talk to the organizer again about this situation and will form our own judgment. We can't always please everyone, and we don't want that at all. But if we have to bow to some kind of political pressure every time, then we artists/musicians can soon quit our jobs. And after 40 years in this exciting business, I don't need any instructions about what to do or not. We have a strong fan base in Finland, and many are happy to see Sodom again receiving a special set list exclusively. After this long dry spell, we are, of course, happy to be playing in Finland again. This is our job, our passion. That's what we are living for. We won't let that talk us to death either and decide for ourselves. We will, of course, keep you up to date on the current state of affairs. But don't forget, Sodom stands for freedom, peace, justice, and democracy. And that's all that counts. Cheers.
All right. Yeah. Hmm. I mean, that's certainly a thing that you could say after people have expressed concerns that, hey, you, band that I've loved for decades, maybe don't play with outright fascist bands.
Yeah, it's and this is the statement I was talking about where they kind of just poo-poo the whole thing. It's like, oh, we don't want to be talked to death about this. You know, we don't want to hear from the politically correct about this. I mean, that shit sucks. But an interesting point that they're making is that, and this is something that's generally universal, is that a lot of these guys, especially the bigger name ones, they don't really know who's going to be playing ahead of them until much sooner or the lineup gets announced. Like, this is going to be a 2022 show, I think, and they discussed this in 2019. So they probably had a contract to perform it, and they're like, oh, sure, a Finnish death metal to fest. That's great. That's what we do. Sure, sign us up. And they had no idea that things were going to end up this way. So I think there you have the right to kind of make that statement and get ahead of that. You're not a band like Sodom, and you don't see a list of these bands and go, cool, sign me up. This is what I want. You know, it's more they get a big name first, and then they start kind of shuffling around to find who else wants to play the show.
Yeah, but that's not really the crux of what this statement is.
Right.
That's kind of like added on.
Yeah.
If that was the whole statement, we didn't know who was going to be on this. We're going to talk about it as a band, and we're going to decide. That's much different than saying, you know, we don't really talk about these bands and their political views left or right.
Right.
Like, they're not saying, you know, this was out of our hands and we're going to figure it out. And they're not even saying we don't like these bands. They're in the like piss puddle warm middle of, we don't want to talk about these things. We just want to play our guitars.
Yeah.
Political thrash band.
I think the thing that, you know, really rubs me the wrong way is saying, you know, the PC bands, they overwhelm the other bands, the, you know, the non PC bands. It's like, well, that's a lie, and it's an equivocation, and you're showing your ass.
Right.
You got to stop that.
Like, a band who is an NSBM band is, like, one too many if you have it on your show. It's like, it's going to poison everything. And, I mean, even if there are explanations, and even if there are things that, you know, you can say, like, oh, I didn't know they were playing, or I didn't know what they were about, or anything else, I think bands owe it to themselves to be aware and be careful of this kind of shit. Because if you end up being on the same bill as a band that is inherently shitty and everyone knows is shitty, it's just going to end up being a bad look for you, and you're just going to have to end up explaining yourself, and you're going to have to end up in this sort of situation. So you might as well just nip that shit in the bud immediately and not have that happen in the first place.
I guess what really kills me is how much of a wiener everybody's being about this.
Of course.
Because, I mean, you know, if you were to look at that lineup, I'd say probably the biggest collection of dickheads on stage would be Graveland.
Yeah.
Graveland, despite being an NSBM band, they have been for their entire career, still, when they encounter any kind of adversity to getting a paycheck, they immediately fall back to say, no, we're not.
Do we have that statement in front of us?
I got one in front of me.
Let's do
it. It's cut off, but that makes it even funnier.
Yeah.
Graveland here saying the other day, it is really sad to be the witness of political censorship and interfering with metal music again, especially when bands have nothing to do with politics or accused of extremism. These bands are accused on the basis of materials collected by extreme left-wing intolerant agencies and foundations implementing unspecified political programs at the request of some political option. Managers of famous bands gave a list of 12 groups that should be removed from the festival and blackmailed that if these groups do not disappear from the festival list, the stars they represent will not take part in the event. This form of censorship has been known in the metal scene for a long time. More than once, bands has witnessed them. They have fallen into something or they were simply falsely slandered. The method is as old as the inglorious day on which the Antifa political agenda was born. As you can see, bands that participate consciously or unconsciously write a lot about freedom and justice, are apolitical, and are against violence, etc. However, they allow their brand and position to be used to restrict the freedom of other musicians. This has nothing to do with what they would declare. This is just one of many manipulation techniques in the political censorship service. But shut the fuck up, baby dick.
There sure were a lot of words.
Like, everybody can see the decades of promo materials of you dressed like a fucking knight giving the Sieg Heil or whatever. Like, this shit is pathetic. Own up to it, you fucking baby.
And like we alluded to earlier, they are on Twitter, which is just funny to begin with. And they've been posting a lot more recently, and I just scrolled through it just for the hell of it. Not that long ago, they posted a meme of Family Guy, of Lois saying, "I like black," and then there's a picture of people gasping, and then the last picture, it says metal.
God damn, dude. Like, if you at one point in your life were ever like enraptured by the image of black metal, like I think that shit's nerdy as fuck. But if you were ever like, ooh, this is cool, like, you know, evil and hoods and swords or whatever the fuck, I'm hoping that seeing these dickheads post boomer grade Family Guy memes is going to disabuse you of that notion forever.
Yeah, like I thought the swords were cool when I was like 17, maybe. I've since disowned all decorative swords in my life. I'm fine now. I don't need them anymore.
Just flails.
Yeah, I have sex now, so it, you know, they just
you
don't
and I actually do have flails though.
Oh, yeah, but it wasn't by design. But, you know, yeah. I didn't do that on purpose. It was just sent to me in the mail by a guy who, you know, he caught me in a low enough moment where I was like, well, a random person on the internet wants my address, but if he comes to kill me, that's okay too. So I just gave him my address and he sent me a flail in the mail.
So bring it back to Sodom just for a second. After there was obvious well-known fallout from it, lots of comments, lots of people saying, what the fuck? And after they put out this statement saying, you know, whether right nor left, the PC, blah, 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 like a day or two later, they put up another statement saying, "We would like to announce that we are canceling our appearance at Steelfest in Finland. We made this decision solely on the basis of our own conviction. Have a nice one. Cheers."
Cancel culture works.
I think I have in front of me a statement from the Steelfest promoters as well.
It's a long statement.
It's a long statement. And again, like
black metal dudes typing paragraphs.
This is definitely a black metal dudes typing paragraphs sort of statement. I'm going to try and see if I can go through it real quick. And if I'm done with it, I'm done with it. But here we go. So this is from the Steelfest Open Air Metal Festival promoters, like the people in charge. They started with, "Hello all!" exclamation point. That's friendly, right? They should be good dudes.
Just the friendliest Nazis.
Friendliest Nazis. "We have been contacted by some, not all, artist agencies, managements. These agencies represent some of the bands which should perform," which should perform, "in Steelfest 2022. Note, so we haven't talked with bands straight about this issue below. We do not know what all bands or its members related to these agencies think about this situation. These 2 to 3 agencies had mainly one message. Steelfest should reconsider its lineup or... As I have asked from these 2 to 3 agencies, I understand completely your point of view and would like to hear your opinion on which bands in particular you feel are the problematic. We got 2 lists of bands. Some of the agencies didn't reply. So we got different lists, which included 12 different bands, what Steelfest should reconsider. 12 bands I should reconsider / cancel, and then maybe more lists to come." God, what a way to go on. Anyway, "Steelfest cannot negotiate or let third party effect / decide which band can play or not in Steelfest or any R events. also realized that I am guilty of creating a way too controversial mix to handle for these agencies. This genre is just money to them. So we have to stop.
It's a business.
Right. So we have to stop this. We cannot be tied to this kind of conversation and controlled by any third party. I love how he puts third party in quotes. Just say Jews. Just say Jews, man.
He really wanted to use the three parentheses every time.
Right. Controlled by the third party echoes. And we cannot always check from agencies or etc. And they're quote unquote professionals. Again, just say Jews. Just say it if you're thinking it. Or measure any kind of social pressure might some artist receive, which band is okay to play in Steelfest or not. This is me not misreading this. This is just everything that this is how they write everything they're saying. As we quote unquote cut this conversation, it means that we will have cancellations to come for Steelfest 2022. Social media pressure, especially on parts of world, is strong. And as one wise guy said to me, it all goes nuclear. No one will want to be in the blast zone with you. We are staying, and we know many of you are staying with us. Never-ending support of Steelfest audience, volunteers, artists, staff, and support of local community, etc., etc. Again, we do not have accusations towards the bands. For some of them, this is their job. Agencies decide big part of that, and in the end, it's all about money and social pressure. We do know that many do not want to cancel, but they have a lot of pressure from many sides. Steelfest have made it extremely clear in the past that we reject any political movements or racist ideologies, okay, that people want to portray our artistic creations as parts of. We are and will be targeted, as we will not pick a side, as all sides are equally repulsive. Nor will we ever apologize for our past, present, and future artistic choices. Now, he puts a line break in here. I'm just going to take that as my cue. I think you guys get the fucking gist. You know what I'm saying?
It's a whole lot of words. Too many words. I think it could be cut down a little bit to say, like, please don't get mad at me.
Look, I'm going to say it. I don't know where to finish. I know literally zero Finnish words. But if I struggled and I was new at the language, I might have someone who might be a bit better at it proofread it for me before putting it online. That's just my take. For what it's worth, he got his point across. I'm an idiot, and I don't like people being mad at me. And the only reason that you are trying to take away my artistic freedom is for money and politics.
This is the written version of that crying dog meme.
Yeah.
You know, cancel my fest.
I mean, he did nail it, though, like in a little nugget there. Like, it's all about money and pressure. It's like, yes, everybody understands this. I'm glad that you're starting to understand it, too.
Right. It's like metal bands work hard. They should get paid for what they're doing, and they shouldn't have that payment put in jeopardy by stupid fucking moves like this one.
I mean, like, everybody inherently understands this, even if they don't quite think they do. People that, say, run NSBM labels or groups or bands, they want to exert their pressure. They want to go ahead and get their thing out there, and they want to make some money off of it. And people that are not a part of that feel alienated by it and understand that in order to keep money coming to them, they have to cut that shit out.
It's like, you guys are promoters. If you're so against, like, the money and the business side of things, then let people into the show for fucking free. Your move. Let me know how that goes. Don't pay the bands. See who shows up. Let everyone in for free. Go ahead. Look, the moment that money is on the table, you have to bow to any sort of economic pressure at all. It's just how it is. And a lot of people don't understand this. If you're selling things on Bandcamp for $1, you have to follow the same rules of commerce as everybody else. And look, if Coca-Cola just decided to replace their white logo of that says Coca-Cola with just a big white swastika and all their red little covers there and sell that, I mean, and no one, everyone stopped buying Coca-Cola, they're not going to go around and be like, come on, guys, what about the taste of the soda? What about our freedom to express flavor for you bros? Come on, fuck off. What's this about? It's just I don't know how people can get away with feeling this way about life and anything.
It really does devolve down to just being a little bit wiener. You don't want to take responsibility for what you've done. You just want everybody to feel bad for you.
You dig your heels in so hard and for so long that you're just stuck in the mud forever.
So despite all the shit, I still haven't heard a peep out of Dismember, and I still find that deeply disappointing. I'm hoping that those guys will make some kind of decision on this real soon.
Well, you did hear a peep out of Rings of Saturn's artist about this.
Oh boy,
of all people.
Yeah, this one popped up yesterday, and it's funny because like nobody asked for this. Like nobody's like,
you're not on the fest, dude. It's okay.
Yeah, like nobody's really thinking about Rings of Saturn right now. But this guy, well, here we go. Again, this is the guy that does the shitty purple digital art for Rings of Saturn, and I have no context for this whatsoever. Other than it appeared on the Making Black Metal Dudes type paragraphs page.
best social media page to follow in all of the internet, just so you guys know. And this isn't a Rings of Saturn member. This is the guy that does their artwork, yeah. Correct?
Yeah, if you need a guy to do swirly tentacle monsters in purple, like this is the guy, I guess.
Excellent.
The Babe Ruth of purple tentacle monsters.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have the context for it, so we're just going to go into it cold. I'm sure he was making a great point here. I guess everyone forgot that Nazi equal Ashkenazi, which is Jewish, and Jews, those claiming to be Jews and the goyim that work for them, control the media, thus the music industry, and soon the whole world. So basically, anyone involved in selling music supports Nazis either directly or indirectly. Lol. If you want to make sure all the Nazis are gone, you have to finalize everyone, because one of them might get away and start this thing up again. You wouldn't want that now, would you? My mother is Jewish. That's why I have so many past lives as a merchant, LMAO. It's all sell, Saturn. About distracting you from yourself, because you're a sacrifice via sodomy. So everyone should know this is all a mind game. End of story. Don't bother replying. I won't read it.
Congratulations to Mark Cooper for getting a headlining slot on Steelfest.
I'm pretty familiar with all kinds of pretty out there right-wing to outright fascist thought, and I have to say this is a new one on me, Jordan. I have never seen anyone claim that the origin of Nazi was Ashkenazi.
Right, like to say, like, didn't you know that the Nazis were Jews after all? Didn't you know that? It's like intellectually on the same level as stating that the Democrats were originally the racist party 200 fucking years ago.
The party of the KKK is what, right? Republicans like to say.
Yeah.
I think a semantic fuck up along the lines of like, why didn't we hear about COVID-19?
We do have people who might not know this and international listeners. Ashkenazi is a reference to Jewish people, typically from Europe and Eastern Europe. It is like the German word, or it's the Hebrew word for Germany. It has nothing to do with Nazism. It is from like the 16th and even earlier century. He's just stupid.
Nazi, the word itself, the way that we use it is kind of like a slang term that derived around national Bolshevism, national socialism. It was a short, it is a Nazi, not a Nazism. You know, that's right.
Yeah, like I just always figured it was like an old timey way to slap some words together that meant a bigger word.
Yeah, like that one carried around a little bit further than I guess calling people Jerry's. Maybe we ought to bring that back.
Huns.
So yeah, this one again, zero context around this, but this reads like somebody having like a complete mental break. I think this is derived, you know, all of these bands are essentially YouTube bands. They make music specifically for YouTube, so they're spending all their time learning about the world via YouTube.
That makes
All they
sense.
know is guitar, eat hot chip, and watch YouTube videos.
Yep, that's exactly it.
That sounds like a pretty nice life, if I do say so myself.
I have been watching YouTube recently, like after all these years where I'm like, I don't understand watching a guy talk on a camera, but I found a couple of guys. They're pretty good. They're pretty good guys, and I've been learning a little bit now. Mostly about, you know, politics, just starting from the 1930s onwards, but no, I've been watching guys play guitar. That's it.
Yeah, that's where it's okay, is you can watch like hobby videos. If you try to find anyone who has some sort of alternate take on what reality is, I would just click away. I wouldn't even hang around and laugh at them. I would just not. I would just put that one away. Just that tab can have that tab has an X on it. Go ahead and hit that little X right there.
Yeah, no, I've been watching the guy that taught John Mayer at Berkeley. He has the most delightful fucking guitar channel I've ever seen. He's just a happy dude that loves playing riffs. And I feel like I kind of get what people are so fucking addicted to this platform now. Like, oh, I get to watch the nice man play guitar.
That's right.
I guess keep your ears open just in case 25 minutes into a video he goes, now this string, this is the one that they don't want you to
Anything else in the news we want to discuss? Any little tidbits here or there?
What do you got, Jordan? Or you want to call it?
Let's finish this off real quickly. You know the band Violent?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you have been on a message board before where someone insisted they were an incredible band.
I saw them. It was fine.
They are a band. The vocalist Sean Killian, who had stage 4 cirrhosis of the liver and needed a liver transplant, was recently hospitalized with COVID. Now, after he got out of the hospital and he's on the mend, it is revealed that he was unvaccinated, which seems like a pretty bad idea when you've had a major organ replacement, and also, in some ways, pretty disrespectful to the organ donor and their family that you would kind of just be so blasé about trying to protect yourself. And he said in a statement that I'll read through quickly, "I have been vaccinated more than anyone you probably know who hasn't been through the same shit that I've been through, because I've been through a lot of shit. Before my liver transplant surgery, Jesus Christ, I couldn't count the vaccines I had to take. And there were deadlines, like if you didn't take it now, you ain't getting your surgery. So I'm not against people getting the vaccine. You want to get the vaccine? Get the vaccine. I support you 100%. It's your choice. It's your choice. And it's not even about the vaccine for me. It's about freedom. I'm a free man. I'm internal. My freedom comes from within, not from anyone else. Nobody determines my freedom. So don't step on my freedom. That's all. And don't step on other people's freedom. I heard comments about, oh, if you don't take the vaccine, you deserve what you get. Well, guess what? Do obese people deserve to have heart disease? Why is it always the obese thing that these chuckleheads like to bring up? Like, if someone's obese standing next to you're not going to get obese and you are not going to die. So
Right.
maybe try to come up with something else.
Yeah, it's like smokers love to say that shit, but it's like, look, man, me eating a Snickers bar in the corner over here isn't like actively choking a baby. So
He continues, should they be left out? Should smokers not be treated for lung cancer because they made these choices to do this? Obese people have heart disease, diabetes, all these things. No wonder the same analogy. Again, it's not the same analogy. Now, under the same analogy of if you don't take the vaccine, you should suffer. Well, then those people, you should apply it to them too, because they should suffer. But I don't believe that. I believe people should be free to do what they want. If you want to go to fucking McDonald's and eat 20 cheeseburgers and fucking wake up in the morning and eat 20 breakfast fucking McNugget shit, whatever the fuck they serve over there, because I don't eat that crap, go for it. That's your business. My business is not someone else's business. Like I said, my freedom's internal. I decide, no one else. I'm not anti-vax. I just make my own decisions, and freedom is the number one decision for me to make my own choices. And I hope all of you do the same.
I didn't think that would make me as mad as it did.
Because it's so aggressively ignorant.
Yeah. Like, just using the word freedom as a crutch and a stand-in for any kind of set of coherent beliefs.
Joe, what are you doing? Why are you taking a shit in the middle of a parking lot? It's because it's my freedom. You know? There's, like, nothing to be said here. Like, there's just no... At least with a guy like Wino, he has some fucking conspiracy theory, some real reason to fall back on. There's no reasoning here. There's just a guy making like the dumbest excuse while people are laughing at him.
You have health problems and you went to the hospital because of this. How are you not changed?
Yeah. What a waste of a liver, man.
Damn.
Like going into somebody that just is pot committed to being a dildo about this whole thing. That's pretty disappointing. I thought that until this week, I thought that, you know, folks were kind of on the same page among folks that I knew. That's apparently not the case. I didn't think I had to say anything, and I'm sure that saying it now makes no change whatsoever. But if you are unvaccinated and you're in America where there is an abundance of vaccines, too many that could probably go elsewhere, you should probably go ahead and take that shit.
Yeah, you're going to feel lousy for like one afternoon and then you're going to be protected from dying. I don't know. Whatever. Do what you want. Fine. It's your freedom.
Enjoy your horsey paste.
Man, Tractor Supply sold out of ivermectin.
Just what put it on your blooming onion when you go to Outback.
What am I supposed to treat with my chickens with now?
The vaccine.
Yeah, there's an abundance of it. Just put in your chicken.
I'll call up my doctor, sure, and see what he thinks about if COVID vaccines are right for my chickens to just prevent worm buildup.
Roll through one of those vaccine drive-thrus and just hold your chicken up.
I would love to see that. I think that would probably annoy everybody involved, but it would be very cute. Well, in the name of freedom, do you guys want to continue on with our days? Go off and, you know, spread the ideology of good freedom and liberty and all of that?
Yeah, I think it's what our founding fathers would have wanted.
Right. I have a couple of YouTube videos to watch, so I'm gonna inform myself. I'm gonna do real research, and I'll get back to you guys. With that note. Keep it metal. I'll see y'all at Steelfest, and have yourselves a great rest of your week.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.